All right, right now it's time for a segment that I look forward to each and every week, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf during our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour? We'll take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. You of course, know that we usually have an open for that.
Here, wait, I'll do it. Now it's time to go inside the ropes.
Pat, that was a great job. That was very well done.
That was horrible.
We are having a few technical difficulties here, so we're going to have to do without the production.
I'm blaming it on Haro.
The production, yeah, that's a good point. Let's blame it on Rick Haro, but we're going to have to do without the production quality during this segment, so no nifty sounders or anything like that. It's just going to be two guys discussing golf.
Hey, this is it. It's pure, it's real. We're keeping it real here. None of that fancy stuff.
Exactly. Speaking about old timers, we're definitely reverting back to the way radio used to be when Marconi came up with it, like in 1910 or whatever. All right. Well, last week at the CA Championship at Doral, a very, very select field of 79 players. It was actually pared down to 77 by Sunday after withdrawals from a couple of guys. But the top five in last week's CA Championship at Doral was almost the who's who in golf. Jeff Ogilvie, of course, won by one stroke over a threesome of Retief Goosen, Vijay Singh, and Jim Furyk in second. Tiger Woods had his seven-tournament win streak and his five PGA Tour event win streak snapped after a very subpar week, although even though he missed putts left and right, he only finished two shots back of Ogilvie in solo fifth. So the top five went Ogilvie, Goosen, Singh, Furyk, and Woods. Could this be a preview of what we might see at Augusta in a couple of weeks? Could the top five at Doral be the same top five, not necessarily in the same order, at the Masters?
Absolutely, Russ. I mean, you're talking about guys that have played well at the Masters. Tiger, obviously, Vijay Singh. Guys that should play well there, Jeff Ogilvie. I think, and Jim Furyk, I think you are definitely going to see probably three of those five in the mix at least. And then the other two will probably be somewhere in the top 12, somewhere in there. That's a nice thing that you get from Doral now because it's a WGC event and it is such a stellar field. And a lot of these guys use that as a run-up to the Masters. You see a lot of them try to compete in this thing and almost use it as a dress rehearsal for the Masters. So, yeah, I think you're going to see at least three of those guys that you mentioned and all five of them in the mix, but three of them should be in the top five.
All right. Well, I think we're definitely looking at possibly four of those top five in the top five at the Masters in a couple of weeks. Let me start with Tiger because he's, of course, the favorite every year. I think he will win his fifth green jacket in 2 weeks. And since 19 – now, here's a little stat that doesn't mean a lot, but I think it's a perfect storm for Tiger Woods. Since 1991, only once before has there been 2 weeks between the Florida swing and the Masters. Of course, we have it this year with the Zurich and then next week the Houston Shell Open. That was in 2002. The only time since 91 that there have been 2 weeks between the end of the Florida swing and the Masters was in 02. Tiger won the Masters that year. And, of course, Tiger Woods, if you're going to give players more time to prepare, I give Tiger the edge because he's the best at preparing and getting himself ready. So Tiger's the favorite this year as far as I'm concerned. Jeff Ogilvie, he's already won a major already, the 06 U.S. Open at Wingfoot. I think he will win one or two more majors before he is done. And you're talking about majors that he might win. I think his game is perfect for Augusta. He's a long driver. He's a great putter. He made 61 out of 64 putts inside of 10 feet last week at Doral. That was best in the field. He has only played twice at Augusta, though. His best finish was a 24th last year. I think he will definitely improve on that this year. Retief Goosen finished one shot behind Ogilvie in a tie for second. Last week, he looked like the two-time U.S. Open champ. He shot 71, 69, 64, 68, finishing just one shot back of Ogilvie. He's coming off that tie for 14th at Bay Hill the week before that. So I think he's finally getting into playing form after kind of falling off the face of the earth the last year plus. He has three career top three finishes at Augusta, including a tie for second at last year's Masters. So I think he's definitely going to be in the top five this year, pushing Tiger for that win. And he's one of the best putters on super fast greens. Vijay, he's already won a Masters before already, we know, in 2000. Could he win it again at Augusta? I don't know. I mean, he's just getting up there in age. I think it's a good question. Have we seen the last major victory from VJ, or do we think he might win again? I'm not sure on that one, but I think he will contend. Not necessarily win, but I think he could be in the top five very easily this year at the Masters. Jim Furyk is the one guy that I don't think will contend at the Masters. He missed the cut this week at the Zurich. I just don't think Augusta is the best fit for his game. I think he's going to win another U.S. Open, though, before it's all said and done. I think if you talk about majors with Furyk, I think the U.S. Open is perfect for him. I think the British and possibly the PGA Championship, depending on the venue, could also fit his game. I just don't think the Masters is where he best fits. So I would take out Furyk from that top five, and I would insert Phil Mickelson into Furyk's spot for my personal top five, most likely to win at the Masters next week. I would also say look for Adam Scott in 2 weeks, that is.
You love Adam Scott. He ain't doing it, Russ. He ain't doing it. I know he's won the TPC.
We got the production back. Colin, nice job getting all the kinks worked out. We did have some technical difficulties, but no longer. We've got the nifty sounders back. So no more old school, Pat. We're back to new school.
All right. Well, I'll go with technology. I'll give you my quick top five. Tiger, obviously, I kind of agree with you. I think this year, for whatever reason, it's just setting up the way he's been playing. And as you said, he didn't really play that well last week, and he still only missed it by two shots.
One stat. How about this? How amazing is this stat? His two most recent defeats, Tiger Woods' two most recent defeats, a second to Phil Mickelson at the Deutsche Bank last year, and a fifth behind Ogilvy and then the trio of Goose and Furyk and Singh at Doral. How many days between those two defeats? It's more than half a year. 203 days. 203 days between Tiger's two most recent defeats. That's unbelievable.
I'll give you another stat. That's ridiculous. Calculating Tiger's handicap over his last 20 rounds, which is how they normally do the handicaps, his scoring average is like 67 something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I mean, he's like two shots ahead of the next guy. Well, they've calculated his handicap. I know we're off topic here,
but this
over,
is fun stuff.
Over the last 20 rounds, his handicap would equate to a plus 13.85. That's staggering.
Oh,
I mean, plus that means like me as a three-four handicapper.
He'd have to give you 18 strokes.
He'd give me a shot on every hole.
And
I mean, plus
went.
14, Russ. I can't even comprehend that.
That is unbelievable because you talk about a good golfer is a scratch golfer.
Right.
But a scratch golfer
is going to be getting 14 shots off
of it. It's nowhere near what Tiger Woods is. And you talk, I mean, pros, technically, typically pros are plus four, plus five. I was talking to Ian Baker Finch the other night at the Honda Classic kickoff party. I guess that was almost a month ago. Ian says right now he's playing to a plus four. So Ian Baker Finch would get 10 shots from Tiger Woods.
And I hate to tell you, I'd take Tiger.
I'd take Tiger against you, giving him 18.
I'd take him, too. I'd be playing against him. A shot a hole, but it is staggering. But here's real quick my top five.
You know, I have a question. I'm sorry, Pat.
Ahead,
I have a question.
Ahead.
When you do that, would you play from different tees as well?
That's a good question. I don't know if you have to play from the same tees as he does.
Right, because getting the shots almost makes it even, so then you have to play from the same tees, right?
I think you do. I think you're right. But
well, if that's the case,
it ain't happening.
You'd have no chance in hell, Pat. I'd give you 30 shots.
I'd have no shot. You're exactly right. Here's my quick top five for the Masters in 2 weeks. Tiger, obviously, I think he's way out in front. I'll give Phil, I'll put him in that group just because he's competed well there, even though I don't know where his game is right now. Doesn't seem like he's been sort of on early like he normally is. I got to give Ogilvy because of all the stuff we talked about and the fact that he has won. I think he's entering his prime. I do like Retief just because of what you mentioned. He's played well recently at the Masters. He's played well recently this year.
Right.
Maybe he's finally starting to get it back. He hasn't won since the U.S. Open a couple years ago.
Tie for 14 at Bay Hill. Tie for second at Doral.
And I think you got to put a wild card in there. You mentioned Jim Furyk. I agree with you. There was talk of him going to a long putter at the Doral because something's wrong with his putting. And when you're going through that stuff, VJ's about the only guy I've seen been able to go from long to short.
Right. But VJ, there's never been a player to win a major with a long putter. It's always been a regular length. VJ's three majors are all with a short putter, not a long one.
And if Furyk's going to a long putter, I think that tells you that he doesn't trust what he's doing putting. So I would put a wild card in there at number five, like Zach Johnson last year. Just somebody that comes out of the blue.
Right.
I'll throw a name in there. And I don't even know if Matt Jones is qualified for this tournament, but if he's not, Daniel Chopra, a guy who won at Tesoro last year, who's going to play in it for the first time
this year.
Won at
the Mercedes.
I know no one's won it in the first appearance, I think, since Fuzzy Zeller in
79,
whatever it was. But a guy like that, who has that kind of a demeanor, I think can contend. But I'm going with
Interesting.
Tiger.
Interesting. Yeah, me too. I mean, Tiger, you know, he's won four Masters in 11 years as a pro. He's basically on a one every 3 year
and we're
pace.
At that.
And he hasn't won since 05, so we're at our third year, exactly. It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. It's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, number two goes to you, Russ. The last 10, speaking of majors, last 10 LPGA majors have been won by 10 different women, which hasn't happened since the 1987 through 89 season on the LPGA Tour. Real quick, you have Lorena Ochoa, Christy Kerr, Suzanne Pedersen, Morgan Pressel, Sherry Steinhauer, Annika Sorenstam, Sayre Pak, Kari Webb, John Jang, and Birdie Kim have won the last 10 LPGA majors. Next week's Kraft Nabisco, do we see winner number 11, or do we see one of those previous 10 win that
one? Good question. And these are not small names by any stretch. I mean, those are some big names, the best players in the world. Ochoa, Kerr, Pedersen, Pressel, Sorenstam, Sayre Pak in there. I remember her win at the McDonald's LPGA in 06 was her first win in like 4 years, I think,
same
or something
with
like
Kari
that.
Webb, she
right,
won
that's
in
right.
In
when Kari, yeah, when Kari won the Kraft Nabisco in 06. All right, here's my prediction. The only way the winner next week of the Kraft Nabisco will not be one of those 10 women that have won the 10 previous majors is if it's Paula Kramer. If it's not Paula Kramer, I think it's going to be either Ochoa or Pressel or Pedersen or Sorenstam. But Paula Kramer is the one, you know, last year all four winners were first-timers in majors, Pressel, Pedersen, Kerr, and Ochoa. We were waiting for Ochoa to win a major for, what, 5 years? And she finally got the monkey off her back. And what a place to do it at St. Andrews in the Women's Open last year in Scotland. Paula Kramer's ready to win a major. She's won 5 times on the LPGA Tour. She's already won this year. She won a couple weeks back at the Fields Open in Hawaii. Sorenstam, Kramer, and Ochoa, all three of them have already won this year. I think Kramer wins next week the Kraft Nabisco, but if she doesn't win, it'll be one of these 10 ladies on this list. Most likely Ochoa or Sorenstam.
I'm gonna refine it even further, Russ. I think you can discount, you know, everybody from 2006 down. Steinhauer, even Annika, I don't think she's ready to get back on in the majors hunt yet. Pak, I think, is done. Kari Webb's probably done. John Jang, I don't even know. And Birdie Kim.
I'm not counting Kari Webb out because I think like the month
after. You did count her
I
out.
I said that Kari Webb would never again win a major. And like a month later, that's when she won the Kraft Nabisco.
I'm gonna limit mine to it's either going to be Ochoa, Christy Kerr, Suzanne Pedersen, or Morgan again in a repeat. Or I think you're going to get like a Paula Kramer or another Korean, somebody that just comes out of the pack and wins it. So if it's not one of those four. And I think it's Ochoa. I think she's probably going to do it.
Yeah.
But if it's not her, I think it's going to be one of those other three, or you're going to see like a Paula Kramer or one of the Koreans win.
You know, something crazy. Ochoa, she won 8 times last year on the LPGA Tour, and she's in a stretch right now where the Turnberry event in Aventura and next week's Kraft Nabisco are the only two events for, I think, like a 2-month stretch that we're already in here with the Safeway this week where she's defending champ. I think the Kraft Nabisco and the Aventura event, the Turnberry event, are the only two in the next 2 months that she's not going to be defending as the champion because she had such a stellar year last year on the LPGA Tour.
All right, rest number three to me.
We're high tech. It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicklaus, Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. All right, here's kind of a fun one, and I just thought of this yesterday as I was sitting. By the way, yesterday was the hottest day of the year so far, 90 degrees. The thermometer hit 90 for the first time in 2008. And I was sitting outside down in Crandon Park in Key Biscayne at the center court watching man, I forgot her name already, the big girl, the real big girl, Lindsay Davenport.
Okay.
Watching her just destroy some little French girl that's like 17 years old and 5 foot nothing. And
did
Davenport,
she end up crying at the end?
Was no.
Like,
but Davenport won 6-2 and 6-1, and it wasn't even that close. So I was at the Sony Ericsson Open, the tennis event down in Key Biscayne at the Crandon Park Tennis Center. And as you know, Pat, of course, as any tennis fan knows, that tennis tournaments tennis is probably the most similar game to golf, right? I mean, it's all about an individual. Obviously, tennis, you're playing against an opponent, where in golf, you're playing against the field and the course.
Right.
But I think if you're looking for a sport that's most similar to golf, I think it's tennis, because it's not basketball or baseball or football or hockey.
Not a team game. Yeah.
Right. So, but we realize tennis events are different than golf events because they're co-ed. They're co-ed events. A men's and a women's division is held simultaneously at the same venue. And it happens at the majors as well, or the Grand Slams, if you'd like, in tennis, which they call them, the U.S. Open and the French Open on the clay, Wimbledon on the grass. So tennis events are co-ed events where a men's and women's division is held simultaneously. You have two champions on this at the same venue. Do you think we'll ever see a co-ed simultaneous event in professional golf?
I don't know. This is one of those questions, Russ, when you hit me with it earlier as we were prepping for the show. I never even thought of this before. I don't think it necessarily would be a bad idea. I don't, you know, tennis, the crowds are pretty similar. It's like you can get men and women rooting for men and women. So, and I think you get that in golf, too. I think the crowds are a little bit different. You do get certain segment of men that will only go to men's events and probably women that will only go to women's events.
You get some men that only go to women's events.
Well, if you've seen some of the crap of young women that are up there, you're right. But I do think it could happen, and I do think it could actually be successful if they could somehow figure out a way, like where maybe the men went off in the morning and then the ladies went off in the afternoon. Obviously, you'd have to have multiple courses to do this, but I still think you'd have to find some way to kind of interact, and where you couldn't have men playing one course, women playing another, and then switch. I think you'd need to have some kind of a synergy where, you know, they'd all be playing the same course or something. I don't know how it would work, but I think it could work. I think it's an interesting concept where you would have a men's and women's shell open, you know,
right,
champion.
Right, exactly.
And I think it could be pretty interesting.
I think it's a great idea. I'm glad I came up with it. But I think it's very interesting. The biggest question is, would the PGA Tour ever, because I think for the LPGA Tour, this would be a goldmine. They would love to be hooked up with the PGA Tour event for the same week. Would the PGA Tour ever consider this? Because I think the LPGA Tour would jump at the opportunity. Carolyn Bivens probably would, knowing how forward-thinking she is. You're right. It would have to be a venue where there are multiple tracks. PGA National could be that venue. I mean, the Champ Course, as we know, but there's three other courses there on site. There's tons of venues that the PGA Tour plays that have multiple tracks. I mean, you think about the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic, all those courses out in Palm Springs.
We're talking about the Houston Open now. Or was it Byron Nelson where they used to have two courses?
Oh, yeah, Byron. Well, and the Byron Nelson now is just the one course, right? But Byron Nelson used to have two as well. There's plenty of venues.
Yeah, that have
even like Doral, where only one course is played. There's other courses at Doral, the white course and the red course. So I think it's a great idea. I would love to see it someday down the road. I don't think it'll ever happen.
It probably won't. I'll throw another twist on it, Russ. How about you end up having the two tournaments going on, and then the men's and women's winner. Now they win the tournament, they win the prizes, but they play like a Monday match play. Like the woman gets to play from the red tees or whatever against the champion or the men's, and then have like a match play thing. I think it'd actually be pretty cool. But you're right, it'll never happen.